This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
A very good afternoon and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, and today for Earl Robinson, who's getting a little head start on his holiday break, we have a really busy show for you today. We're going to talk a lot about Jabari Parker and his decision yesterday to attend Duke next year, spurning Michigan State, Florida, among BYU and Stanford. We want to get some perspective on that announcement today. We're going to have a couple of guests who do that for us, but we're going to begin today with Sports Illustrated columnist Jeff Benedict, who had a really special behind-the-scenes look at Jabari's decision. And Jeff, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. First of all, if you can, Jeff, let the listeners know a little bit about how you got some of the access that you were able to get looking into Jabari's big decision yesterday.
Well, I've known Jabari for about a year now. I did the original Sports Illustrated cover profile on him back in May, and spent many months on that and got to know him and his family really well. We became good friends through the process, and the friendship has developed further since then. And so I've watched him go through the recruiting decision process as well. And I was just incredibly impressed with his approach to the decision. It's unlike any approach that I'd ever witnessed with regard to a high school student trying to figure out where to go to college and play basketball. And so it really developed out of that.
Well, in this day and age of social media and instant gratification, usually decisions like this, the word slips out a little bit beforehand. And I guess this just kind of goes to the point that you were talking about, that this has been different than many other recruiting stories, but this was really kept under wraps right until he made the decision yesterday.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really, really admired about him. There's lots of things to admire about Jabari, but this was great to see how well he did that. And I think it speaks a lot to the kind of kid he is and the kind of adult he's going to develop into when he, when he graduates from high school and takes the next step.
When you listen to his decision-making process and what he went through, Jeff, it seems to me that the real deciding factor in this was Jabari having a chance to play for somebody like Coach Krzyzewski.
I think that's right. Really, he was looking at five really good choices. I don't think he could have gone wrong at any of those five schools. Stanford, BYU, Michigan State, Florida, they're all great schools, and they all had different sets of strengths, but none of them would have been a bad choice. And there's some terrific coaches in that group, including Tom Izzo and Billy Donovan. So he was looking at a menu where all the choices, if you push that button, come up good. I think going to Duke with Coach K is a great choice, and it pairs probably the greatest coach in college sports today with the best high school basketball player in the United States right now. And it should be a fascinating time at Duke.
Jeff Benedict, columnist at Sports Illustrated, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. Jeff, as you went through talking to him about the pros and cons of each school, what were some of the things that he had to say, good and bad, about Michigan State and Tom Izzo?
Well, I don't remember anything bad. The things that were good is, number one, terrific team chemistry there. I love the players. He's got friends on that team. Mm-hmm. And he, I think, would have been very comfortable with those guys. Likes Tom Izzo a lot. Has tremendous respect for him. Loves his intensity, his enthusiasm, his coaching style. It's a blue-collar team with a blue-collar approach that I think the coach's approach to basketball comes through his players, which tells you that his players respond to his coaching style. And so all of that stuff were in the plus category for him.
What did you think about what he said yesterday about one of the reasons that he didn't choose Michigan State was because he felt like he would be stepping on Brandon Dawson's toes a little bit because Brandon's been there for a couple of years and they play the same position?
Well, you know, I didn't think much about it. It's just, you know, the only thing I'll say is that this is a young man who's he thinks about things that most kids don't think about when they make decisions. You know, there's a lot of people wonder why it took him so long to decide. Well, he was thinking about a lot of things that went into the calculus that most kids just wouldn't even consider. It's all about them. And I think with Jabari, he thinks about other people too. And I think that's just one example of that.
His father, Sonny, obviously a former NBA player, very influential in Jabari's life. Health ailments, the kidney ailment, certainly well documented. How much do you think it played into Jabari's decision that Coach Krzyzewski took the two of them to a dialysis center on campus at Duke? What kind of an impression did that make?
Well, with Coach K, there's a lot of things about him that are different than any other coach in basketball or maybe even all of college sports. I mean, I think he, like Jabari, he thinks about things that not everybody else thinks about. And I think that little thing was one of probably a collection of actions that Coach K took during the last year that, you know, demonstrated what's unique about him. And he really does think about the whole student. And these guys are, at the end of the day, they're human beings, they're students. We call them student-athletes. Some people call them athlete-students. But the point is, I think Coach Krzyzewski has a long record of treating student-athletes as human beings who have a long span beyond the 4 years they're with him. And he thinks about things that involve the family. And this was something that definitely involved the family, and it was important to Jabari.
Yeah, the other thing that I found interesting was when asked what coach he would like to play for, he chose John Wooden. And I'm thinking if you pulled like the top 20 high school players in the country, how many of them would even know who John Wooden is? And I think that goes to your point again about Jabari being a different kid. He looks, you know, deeply into the game of basketball. But for a kid, like you say, to want to choose to play for John Wooden, I shouldn't say it surprised me, but it was something that really kind of made me look at Jabari a little differently, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I knew how strongly he feels about Wooden because when we worked on the original profile on him for the magazine, that was a name that came up a lot in the interviews and that we talked about a lot. He really does. He's a student of the game, and if you're a real student of the game, you have to know a lot about John Wooden and the impact he's had not only on college basketball but just on basketball in general and on coaching. You know, coaches in every sport look at John Wooden's leadership style, and I think Jabari's read about him. He quotes him on his Twitter page. I mean, he likes Wooden a lot, and I think it's someone he's always wished he'd had a chance to play for.
Jeff Benedict, a Sports Illustrated columnist, joining us here for a couple more minutes on Sports Talk. Jeff, one more thing, and we'll let you go. I appreciate your time. I know you've got a flight to catch. When you looked at Jabari and you kind of got to know him a little bit, what's maybe one thing that people don't know about Jabari that they should know, whether it's about the basketball player or the person?
Well, I would actually say two things. Number one, it's so easy to lose sight of the fact that he is, at the end of the day, still a teenager. He's a boy. He's 17 years old. He goes to high school. And I think a lot of times as sports fans, we lose sight of the fact that we're talking about a kid, not an adult. And so there's been an enormous amount of pressure and weight on the shoulders of a teenage boy. Secondly, I'd say, you know, this is a kid who comes from a family that not only does he have a dad who's played the game, so he knows the realities of professional basketball, but he comes from a family where his mother has instilled in him some really good grounding. And Jabari's value system, I think, is set up the right way that it, everything doesn't sink or stand on basketball. He may be the best basketball player in the country at the high school level right now, but the truth is that he has other priorities that have nothing to do with basketball. like getting an education, being a good father and a good husband someday. I mean, these are things that he's already thinking about. And I think that's what makes him the kind of kid that you really want to root for.
Well, Jeff, great piece again yesterday. Gave great insight into Jabari's decision-making process. I'm sure, as you mentioned, your friendship with him will continue. And I have to imagine that there will be a lot more written about Jabari Parker here in the near future.
I hope so.
Well, again, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks again, Jeff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
It's Jeff Benedict, columnist for Sports Illustrated. And if you haven't gotten a chance to read the full article, we may read some excerpts from it here over the next 45 minutes or so. But if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, you can go on to SI.com and read all of Jeff's column about Jabari's decision and ultimately what led him to Duke yesterday and not to East Lansing. Again, I'm Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today here on Sports Talk. Aaron is on the other side of the glass. He's ready to take your phone calls. And if you'd like to call into today's show, we would welcome your phone calls, whether you want to talk about Jabari Parker or anything else that's going on. We want to give you those telephone numbers. If you're in the 517 area code, it's 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. I want to thank Dave Ackerley again for filling in yesterday. He really pinch hit Aaron in a difficult decision. You know, he was just, one of the guys that, you know, he's been on the sidelines for nine innings, eight and a half innings, and you call him in there in the ninth and came in and did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know if he hit a home run, but, I think he got a triple. And then, you know, someone came up and he got, you know, he got the home base.
Well, he's no stranger to the show, although he may not have hosted in a while. He used to host many times. I mean, early in my career, I can remember when Earl would call him and ask him to fill in. And he would ask, one or two of us that worked at Channel 6 at the time to come in with him. So that was kind of my first indoctrination into AM 870 and sports talk. And it was good to hear him back on the airwaves again. All right. Again, we'll be with you until 2 o'clock here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson in for Earl today. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to touch base with Matt Charbonneau, who writes for the Detroit News, and he was in Chicago yesterday for the Jabari Parker decision and will give us kind of a firsthand view of exactly what went on yesterday at Chicago's Simeon High School. You know, there was I heard a lot of negative thoughts yesterday on social media from people who were bashing ESPN and the whole, you know, televised decision, if you will, going back to the LeBron James decision a couple years ago. And, you know, most of me agrees with that, you know, having a half hour special. And again, ESPNU has to fill time. You know, they have, you know, certain blocks of time that they have to fill, but having a half an hour special to do that, it puts a lot of pressure, like Jeff Benedict said, on a 17-year-old kid. And yesterday, you could clearly see that Jabari Parker was nervous. He was nervous to be standing up there. He was nervous to be on national television. He was clearly pretty nervous. And being a 17-year-old kid, you know, I can't say as if I'm totally surprised by that. You know, I think a lot of people wanted the decision. They were so anxious for the decision to come that they wanted it to happen right at 4 o'clock. But, you know, when you have to fill a half an hour, you're not going to give the decision right at 4 o'clock and then spend the rest of the half an hour, you know, trying to talk about that decision. You're going to, you know, show some things leading up to why Jabari was going to make the decision he was going to make. Ultimately let him make that decision and then kind of give some analysis from there. So that's kind of how things went yesterday. But I'm really not a big fan of the whole, you know, press conference setup and having to put a lot of pressure, which I think it did, on a 17-year-old kid yesterday. But Jabari was able to get through it, and, of course, he made his decision. Now, the other interesting factor from this is that because he missed the early signing period, he will not be able to sign until April. So yesterday was nothing more than a verbal commitment. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Grab your binoculars. Time for the annual Christmas bird count. I'm Ira Flatow. On Science Friday, we'll check in with the folks following our feathered friends, plus finding an Earth-like planet and treating Lou Gehrig's disease with stem cells in mice. Will it work in humans? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. There's a winter weather advisory until 7 p.m. Up to an inch of new snow and winds gusting to 45 miles an hour. Today's high 31. Tonight's low 25, windy and maybe some light snow. The weekend forecast partly to mostly sunny with highs in the 30s.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870. WKAR, Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson, who's getting a little bit of a head start on his holiday break, and who can blame him for that? We want to continue the Jabari Parker discussion right now, and to do that, we're going to bring in Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. I know he's driving back right now from Chicago to mid-Michigan. Matt, how are the roads out there?
Well, unfortunately, I'm stuck with another Michigan State reporter who has yet to let me get out of Chicago, so I can't give you a good report. I can tell you it's very nice here in Chicago, a little chilly, but you know.
Another Michigan State reporter who shall not be named.
No, there's a small chance he works in the same city as me, but I'll leave it at that.
Well, if you can give us kind of your first-hand impression of the whole setup yesterday. You know, I talked a little bit before our first break about, you know, this whole made-for-TV announcement, how nervous Jabari seemed yesterday. But if you can, just kind of give us your first-hand account of being there yesterday and your thoughts.
Well, I don't know the kid as well as a lot of people, obviously, but something feels funny when you're watching a guy with, you know, 10 microphones in front of him and, you know, the gym is packed full of media, and he utters the words, I don't like attention. It's just, something about it, I don't know, rings a little hollow to me. I guess I can understand if people want him to do it, and that's kind of the thing nowadays, you know, do your thing on ESPN or make it live or something, but I don't know, something about it just seemed a little strange to me,
But I don't think he likes the attention. I mean, I think that's kind of – I think somebody said, hey, this would be a good idea or we want to do that. But I don't think he likes the attention.
Well, yeah, I mean, when he first came out, it was kind of goofy. I'm not sure how much people saw it on the telecast, but he's standing out there and it's complete silence. I mean, you know he's got the thing in his ear and he's waiting to hear from the ESPN producers and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, he's just standing there kind of waiting, you know, for 2-3 minutes. You could tell he wasn't comfortable, I don't know. It just seems strange to me that was the whole thing about the guy. Yet, at some point, I'm sure he could have said, "No, I don't want to do it." But here we were, and ESPN was running the show. So, I don't know. I guess it was just a sign of the way things are going nowadays.
Were you surprised that it was Duke and not Michigan State?
I don't know. Surprised? Maybe. I guess when he first announced it, I wouldn't say surprised. As he kept talking and answering questions, I got more and more surprised.
Right.
Just all the stuff about Brandon Dawson, to me, does not make a lot of sense.
Let's dig into that for a second, because I thought that was an interesting and strange comment at the same time, because, you know, to say, okay, I wasn't interested in a school for whatever, I don't think I've ever heard a kid point out the reason they didn't choose a school was because of a player that was already there. I mean, you may think that, but they don't usually talk about that. I mean, saying that he and Dawson play the same position, you know, is ludicrous. I mean, Dawson would play the three if he were to come here, and I think that's, you know, really Brandon's more natural position when he wants to go play in the NBA. He's just kind of being forced into playing the four right now for Michigan State because that's the personnel that they have.
Well, and I think maybe my guess is maybe it's not so much about Brandon Dawson himself as it is the fact that Michigan State moved Brandon Dawson to that four spot. And, you know, a lot of these guys now see the NBA as perimeter-oriented guys that can shoot, and I don't think he's real anxious to be moved to the four either. In fact, we talked to his high school coach the day before. You know, and he has the injury right now, so it's slow to come back, and he was wishing that Jabari would just play in the post more and slow himself down. But these players nowadays, they don't want to do that. And so, I don't think it was necessarily just, you know, Brandon Dawson's there and we'll butt heads or we'll be taking time from each other. Part of me wonders if he sees, well, they moved him to the four. I don't want them to move me to the four. Someone's going to have to play there, and it could become an issue. I just don't understand that personally. I mean, why you wouldn't be better with both guys on the floor? I don't, you know, it's hard for me to see that. But, you know, when a guy's thinking, you know, his NBA future, you never know what he's thinking. So, you know, at that part of it, I guess I understand, but to come out and say that's a reason he didn't pick a school, it just didn't make sense, especially when he tells us that Michigan State, he'd wanted to be a Spartan since he was a sophomore. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And then he tells us that his worst campus visit was at Duke. So then you start wondering, why did he even pick Duke? You know, the whole thing is just very odd, and the more he answered questions, the stranger it seemed to get.
Sports. I don't know if you had a chance to see Jeff Benedict's Sports Illustrated column that really kind of profiled a little bit of a behind the scenes and how he made his decision. But when he talked about schools that fit his priorities, when he's talked about basketball, he said Michigan State. So
right,
and then you give a reason for not coming. That's a basketball reason.
Right, and I mean the contradictions are all over the place. I mean, in that Sports Illustrated article, he said he made the decision the night before and told his dad. Well, you know, at the press conference, he said he decided at 1 o'clock that afternoon. His dad told us he didn't find out until he announced it. So, you know, what the real story is, it's all very bizarre to me. That, you know, we talked about he could have came out and said, "I'm picking Duke," and that would have been the end of it, and everyone would have understood. Well, you know, he picked Duke and Coach K. There's nothing, there's no shame or shock in that.
Right.
But boy, as you start diving into it, it just gets stranger and stranger and makes less and less sense. And then he tells somebody afterwards, for the second time he said this in a week, it's just a commitment. I'd hate that we get to the point here in another couple of months, it's all this is Jabari, you know, going to back out of his commitment. Who's he really going to sign with? I really hope he just sticks with it at this point because, I mean, to say strange, I guess, would be an understatement right now.
Well, if you're Tom Izzo or Billy Donovan, okay, and this is just a verbal commitment because he cannot sign in April. I can't believe, Matt, that neither one of those two guys aren't going to continue to talk to Jabari.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, we talked again to his high school coach on Wednesday, and he said the last thing Tom told Jabari on the way out is, whoever you pick, I'll still have a relationship with you. It's not going to mean, you know, I'm just going to abandon you and all that. So, yeah, I got to think in some manner or fashion Tom's going to stay in contact with him. Now, you know, how much, who knows? And, I don't know what kind of, agreement certain coaches have of backing off. It seems like nowadays a lot of stuff's gone out the window. So I'd be stunned if he isn't still in contact with at least a couple of these coaches. But I don't know, just for the sake of all the craziness around it, I almost hope he just sticks with it because it could get even sillier again here in a couple of months.
Sure. Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News was at Jabari Parker's press conference yesterday at Chicago Simeon High School, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Matt, from afar, the biggest reason that I got that he chose Duke was Coach K. Is that kind of the same feeling that you got too?
Yeah, I did. I mean, when that's really what he talked about a lot. He said he calls Krzyzewski the guru of basketball right now. I mean, you know, the guy's coming off another gold medal, you know, team that he coached. It's just hard to beat a guy like that right now. You know, it's not like, you know, Texas or Florida or BYU, they lost out to, you know, Arizona State or something. This is, you know, this guy is the coach in college basketball right now at a premier program. So there's nothing, I mean, there's no real shame in losing out to that. So, I mean, just Krzyzewski and his, you know, obviously his background, his history. I mean, he's just the guy right now, and it's hard to beat that guy. And I think when it came right down to it, that was probably his choice. He's going to go with a guy he knows is a winner. I mean, he's put like 23 guys in the NBA. This is not a bad choice by him.
Right.
It's just, you know, the circumstances around it are a little strange how it went down. But, I mean, he's going to fit in perfectly fine there. And, you know, the funny thing is about Duke, he said when he called them, they weren't jumping around. This happens to them all the time. So, you know, having all-Americans on their roster is nothing new. So I think he's going to fit in perfectly there.
Did you get a chance to talk to Sonny Parker, his father, at all? And if you did, what were some of the impressions there?
Yeah, we talked to him a little bit. You know, he told us he still didn't know, you know, as of walking out into that gym. I find that a little bit hard to believe, but again, I don't know the guy that well. So
yeah, since he was wearing blue, I find that hard to believe too.
Yeah, there was all sorts of conspiracies. You know, they're talking about Jabari wearing a red tie, maybe sticking Stanford. You know, it was stupid to say it was getting ridiculous in the last hour or so. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, Sonny, he did say, you know, he made sure he kind of backed off and let Jabari decide on his own. They talked a little bit about it, but it wasn't until last week when he said, he told me, he's like, look, you kind of got to start making a choice, you know, whatever it's going to be. He wasn't trying to steer him in a direction. He was just trying to prod him in the direction of getting it done. And when he said he wanted to, he said, let's get it done before school's out. So, you know, your teammates and all that can be around. So that's how they kind of came to that date. But, you know, TC says he was kind of in the dark. But, you know, he thinks he can be an NBA guy. They're, you know, they haven't committed to anything beyond next year. So. It's kind of a wait and see how he does that first year, whether he's just going to be a one-and-done guy or where they go from there.
You know, his health has been an issue a little bit. He's got a kidney ailment. He's been undergoing dialysis a couple of times a week. When Jabari and his family went to go visit Duke, Coach Krzyzewski took them to a dialysis center on campus. Do you think that played into the decision at all, or was that just kind of a little bit of a cherry on top?
You know, my sense is that's kind of a cherry on top. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously Sonny has made it, you know, no secret that he doesn't necessarily like to fly and travel,
right?
Which obviously he's going to have to do now playing at Duke. So, you know, I don't know if that was necessarily a huge thing. It certainly would hurt. I mean, that's obvious, but, you know, now it's going to be harder for him to get to games. There's certainly no doubt about that. And not only is Michigan State closer, they've been playing Illinois, Northwestern, you know, in the region. It would have been a lot easier for him to see. So, you know, I'm not sure how much that played into it. It could be a, you know, time factor. He's thinking, I'd love to see my son in the NBA someday. Who knows? I mean, that's a question I don't really have an answer for. But I can say that trip there, I mean, Jabari had talked about it before. That was – to him, that was kind of a big deal that Krzyzewski took the time to do that. So it certainly didn't hurt, that's for sure.
Well, according to Jabari, you know, Durham is close to Chicago. 850
yeah.
miles these days is close, apparently.
I heard that. That didn't make a whole lot of sense, you know, especially when your other option was Michigan State at about, I don't even, is it even half the distance, a quarter of the distance? Yeah, again, add that to the list of strange and odd occurrences yesterday.
Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. All right, Matt, where does Michigan State go from here? They were holding the one scholarship that they have next year for Jabari Parker. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Do you get the sense that Izzo's going to look for somebody to replace Derek Nick since he's going to be the only one leaving? Or because there is such a good crop the next year, do you bank that and use that for the next year?
Well, that's a good question. He kind of indicated yesterday, as most people know, that he still wants to sign a guy. I don't know if that's necessarily the best move. I mean, I don't think they should be signing a guy for the sake of signing it. It's not like there's, you know, a bunch of stud prospects out there right now completely. I mean, the one kid's name who's at the prep school in Nevada is completely escaping me right now. But, you know, he's an Illinois kid, too. I mean, he's a decent prospect, but I kind of feel like he'd be going after a guy like that for the sake of going after a bigger guy. And, you know, they're in on a lot of guys next year, a couple Chicago guys in particular, Okafor and Alexander. And, you know, the indications we get are that, you know, Tom has really kind of reestablished himself here in Chicago and that, you know, he's right in the mix for those guys. A lot of people think Alexander is leaning to Michigan State right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Okafor and Tyus Jones, the point guard out of Minneapolis, are good friends and AAU teammates. So, you know, he has the potential to really, really have a big class in 2014. I think the fact he's only losing one guy next year might be a reason for him to just go ahead and hold off on that scholarship right now and see what he can do in 2014, because he's in on a lot of big names. A lot of guys are interested. So, you know, another extra scholarship I don't think will hurt. I just hate to see them do it just for the sake of filling it at this point, but we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in that respect, too. And, Tom talked about that a little bit here in town yesterday about how recruiting has become cyclical, and you know, Michigan was the hotbed for a while. Flint was the hotbed with the Flintstones. He's done well in Lansing, done well in Detroit, you know, with some kids. But now the focus has really kind of shifted more towards Chicago. And, you know, as you mentioned, with this recruitment of Jabari Parker, even though that Michigan State did not land him, Tom has become a fixture in that Chicago scene where the best players are right now. And that can only be, I think, a benefit in the future.
Yeah, you know, and for years, you know, after Shannon Brown, really they weren't a presence in Chicago. You know, some of that could have been his friendship with Bruce Weber. Who knows? But the fact is now, you know, he and both and Dwayne Stevens both are very prominent in this city. Not only are they in gyms all the time, all the top prospects are now talking about Michigan State, where, you know, you went for a pretty good stretch there where they weren't really. You know, you'd have top guys there, and Michigan State wasn't even anywhere on the list. So, yeah, and just talking to some people yesterday, certainly they didn't get Parker, but the last couple of years, the work they put in has kind of gotten them back on the map here in Chicago. And considering some of the guys coming out here in the next year or so, and, you know, Michigan State's high on their list, it's frustrating and disappointing not to get Jabari Parker, you know, and it's tough to get over that right now. But if this pays it off down, you know, in the long road, like it looks like it could, possibly will, then, you know, I don't think people are going to worry about it too much because, you know, they put themselves in a pretty good position in this town right now.
Well, you worry or you think about some of the reactions of other coaches, and I don't know if you saw the tweet from Tom Crean at Indiana, but he actually said, I feel sorry for Tom and Dwayne right now because I know how much time they put in and how hard they work, and to not land a kid, I kind of feel sorry for him. It was interesting that a quote-unquote rival coach but a friend would say something like that yesterday.
Well, yeah, and these guys understand what the other guys are going through better than anyone else. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, Tom and Dwayne have been recruiting this kid since before, I mean, since he was a freshman, I mean, this is not just some guy they picked up on late and thought, you know, we'll offer him a scholarship and see what happens. I mean, the time and effort they put in on this guy was as much as you've seen in years. I don't know if there's been a tougher recruiting loss for them since maybe going all the way back to Chris Weber. I mean, this is a guy you put everything into and you didn't know till right before. I mean, a lot of times you get an idea and you can kind of back off and go another direction. You didn't have that in this one, and to go all that way and to not get him in the end, that's a tough pill to swallow. There's no doubt about that. So to see guys like Tom Crean, other guys kind of, you know, understand that, I mean, they've all been through it. So, but just to see it in this high-profile kind of sense and know what they did, I think everyone understands that it stinks for Michigan State. But, you know, again, the positive outlook is what they've established in this city, and I think it'll probably pay off in the long run. If, you know, obviously it's tough right now, but I think it'll work out.
Matt, one last question. We'll let you go. What do you expect to see tomorrow afternoon at the Breslin Center when Texas comes to town?
It'll be interesting. I mean, they looked, you know, up until the other night against North Carolina, this team has really been a mess. I mean, you know, I always call him Cowabunga because I can't ever remember how to pronounce his stinking name. But, you know, the guard they're not going to have. But obviously, it looks like they're not going to have him. He's probably going to get suspended for the year.
Yep.
But this team has players. I mean, they're a talented group of players. It's just nothing's really come together for them right now. But, if you know, you watch them against Carolina, that's a pretty good team. I mean, they're a very good defensive team. And it's not like Michigan State shooting the ball great these days. So, you know, I don't expect anything less than a really tight game. I know Tom said he thinks it's going to be one of the best, you know, at Breslin, and, you know, this year or in a couple of years. They certainly have the players out there to make it that kind of game. You know, we'll have to see because, you know, Texas doesn't score a ton of points either. At least they haven't. So I expect a really good game, a lot of athleticism out there. So I'll be looking forward to it.
All right, Matt, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Please tell your friend and mine to get his act together so you guys can get